Welcome to This Is Property with John Pidgeon. Today we're talking with Hayley from Victoria, avid fan, listener of the show. Are you out there with a family wanting to know how to build a portfolio, or if you're just out there wanting to build a portfolio with no kids? Either way, Hayley's going to show you how she has done it, build a portfolio worth over $3 million and is pretty much self-sufficient today running itself. So I'm keen to find out more about what Hayley's got to say. So strap in and let's do it.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hayley, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, John.
Now, I'm excited about this one because, and we've had some guests on the show that have built their portfolio over the journey. And sometimes when I'm on the podcast as a host, I talk about my kids and I feel as though I'm the only one with kids out there. So I'm excited to have someone on the show that's actually got a few kids, but more importantly, has built a portfolio whilst bringing these children into your life. So first of all, congratulations on your efforts.
Thank you.
So let's go right back to the beginning for Hayley. Where did we grow up? What was the talk around the dinner table in terms of money? Was our family investors? Yeah, tell us the backstory.
So I basically grew up in the UK, one of four girls. My parents moved out to Australia in 1997 to Sydney. They were probably people who always owned their own house when we lived in the UK, and they would have probably tried to pay that down, I'd say, as quickly as they could. And then they moved over to Australia and they would have had similar strategy pay down your debt. They weren't investors when I was young or growing up. They did dabble in property a little bit when I was a teenager. They bought a property in Lake Macquarie in sort of a resort that didn't end up doing so well. I think I heard a previous person on here say similar had happened with her parents, where they probably got bought into the idea when they went there on holiday and, you know, sold the dream that, you know, you can own one of these. So they weren't really investors to that stage. So didn't bring us up, you know, discussing money or investing in property as such. It wasn't a big thing for them. They've gone on to be bigger investors, but more in the share market. Not so much property. They own a couple of properties now, my mum and dad, in Brighton, in Melbourne. But yeah, they weren't big advocates for it, I guess, because they made that mistake at that stage and didn't push us to do property as a young age.
Okay, so two questions from that. One is, what was the money conversations? Was it always positive talk around we should be saving some money, we spend some, we save some, we give some, all those sort of concepts? And then secondly, what got you into property if it wasn't your parents?
So they didn't really encourage saving as such. I got a job as soon as I could. I went and worked paper round, always was keen to earn money from a very young age. Second, I was 14 and 9 months in Sydney. I got a job at a coffee shop. So I was just super keen to earn money and I was a saver, not from them really encouraging it. I think I saved about $8,000 as a teenager, which back then was a lot of money. And I just remember them saying to me, you know, you should spend some of your money now. It'll be tougher when you've got a family later on. You won't have that kind of money just sitting there to spend. So they kind of more pushed the other way, you know, just to enjoy my money when I was young. And not to save. So it wasn't from my parents, but I always had a desire to earn and to save. Property itself and getting into that, it just kind of came about, I think, in my early 20s. I used to look at different areas or how I could possibly afford somewhere when I was really young. And it wasn't, I guess, till I met my husband that we did first purchase our property together.
Okay, awesome. So let's fast forward to then. Where were you living at the time and what did you purchase?
So we met on the Sunshine Coast. I used to work with him up there and I was studying up there. So we rented initially in a suburb called Mount Coolum. We just were renters there and we had our first child when I was fairly young. So we decided that we were going to settle in Sunshine Coast, and we ended up buying a house in Tawantin. That was our very first purchase when I was 23.
Awesome. And you've still got that property today, which has performed really strongly for you. So 2010, I believe you purchased that for how much?
So we purchased that for $470,000. I think it was listed at $525,000, and we did a bit of negotiating. We were told we'd never get it for under five, but, you know, we pushed, and that was our budget back then, and it happened. I think the people were keen to get out. They'd been trying to sell it for a while, and it was a character house. I guess it wasn't for everyone. It was Queenslander style, and we loved it. We didn't want to sort of build. A lot of our young friends back then were doing the land and home packages in Noosaville next door, but we just liked character, and this was set high and had some work we could do to it, but nothing too major. So that's kind of what drew us into that property at that stage.
Awesome. So that $8,000 that you saved as a teenager has served you well and into an asset on the Sunshine Coast.
Yeah.
Was it something that you lived in after that, or was it always purely just going to be an investment?
No, so that was our first house together with our son. We moved in when he was about 10 months old into that, with the idea that we were going to be based on the Sunshine Coast long term. We loved Queensland. So it definitely wasn't bought as an investment. It was an emotional purchase for us. We had access to the first home buyer's grant back then, which I think was $7,000 in Queensland. But we purchased it fairly high debt ratio, like it was 95%, I think. So we had to get LMI from lender's mortgage. We didn't use a guarantor at that stage with family. We wanted to do it ourselves. So that's how we sort of got into the market from the beginning.
Okay, interesting. You mentioned that you're quite happy to pay LMI on your own home. So for first-time listeners, LMI, Lenders Mortgage Insurance, is an insurance pay to the bank when you lend more than 80% of something's value. So for a first home buyer, interesting that you didn't have a problem with that. It does put a lot of people off, especially the first time they go and buy something. Talk to us about your mindset around that.
I think we really wanted to be independent of family. My husband was pretty clear that, you know, it's our journey in property, and it was a bit controversial, I guess, to have that kind of, like you say, when it was bought for us, it wasn't an investment. We just saw it as we had to do it. We didn't have the cash available at that time of our lives. We just had our baby not long ago. I was only working part-time, and it kind of was the only way in. We probably didn't overthink it. Lots of people probably would think, oh, I could never add an extra $10,000. I think that's what it was at the time to the loan, but we did, and it was just what it was. It didn't seem to really be too much of a problem for us at the time. We just did it because we had to.
Yeah, awesome. So 2010, you've bought your own home to live in, you've got one child, you're still very young. Yourself and Luke, which is now your husband, were you on the same page to build a portfolio from that, or was it just simply let's get our own home and crack down on the debt?
Yeah, I'd say at that stage it was more just to have our own home and probably just pay down as much as we could at that stage. We didn't have any other ideals. I guess it wasn't till we decided to move to Melbourne that it became the option to be an investment for us rather than selling it.
Okay, so it's very common for someone to buy their own home to live in, which is what we do in Australia, and then say, okay, I've got a change in circumstances for work or change of scenery, so we'll just simply rent out the current house we've got and off we go to Victoria. So, yeah, tell us what happened after that, and I suppose, was there any thought to sell that property when you left Tawantin?
Yeah, I think there was initially a thought, should we sell it? But it would have been a terrible time. Like, I think the Tawantin market actually dropped in the next 18 months. So we would have lost money to do that. So the better option was to move to Melbourne, to rent ourselves in Melbourne. We wouldn't have been able to borrow again so quickly for another house. So we chose to rent for a few years in the western suburbs near my husband's family, until we worked out really where we wanted to be based in Melbourne, which did take us a couple of years anyway. So we weren't in a hurry to buy again till we found our next house for us to actually live in as a family.
Okay, so we've fast forward to 2014 now, and I believe that place that you decided to settle down is the beautiful Mount Eliza.
It is, yes. So I fell in love with Mount Eliza. I drove here one day. My husband was working Dandenong way, so it sort of made sense. You know, Western Suburbs was a long way from his work, so I came this side on the east, and he loves the country and I love the coast, and it just kind of tied the two in together. So basically, I think one of the first houses we looked at, we actually put the offer in on, and it was just a great timing. The market was quite quiet, so the owners were keen to sell quickly before they'd even opened it up on their first open. We'd put an offer in and they just accepted it, which made a lot of other people unhappy, I think, who did want to have a look at it. But we just kind of got lucky with sellers who wanted to get out quickly, and they were done here. So it worked in our favour.
Sure. And did you feel back then that the property markets was quite stable? Did you see any overheating? Did you think it was a cool market? Could you run in with a discount? Like, did obviously you got it strategically sort of early on in that sales process, but what was your feeling when you went in and bought that property or started looking for property there?
Yeah, I do feel like it was quite a cool market. I think the owners had tried to sell the year before and they didn't even have any offers at that stage at all. They tried again, obviously, the year we bought, and they were just so happy, I guess, they had someone willing to put in an offer. I think if you've tried to sell and you haven't even had any offers, you do take the first one. But often people say it's your best, and that just happened to be what happened for us, and it worked really well for us because it was the perfect kind of house we were wanting. Again, a character home, which has worked well.
Yeah, absolutely. And how much did we pay for that?
So that was $600,000 back in 2014. That was the very top we could have borrowed. I remember we pushed that pretty high. We actually did need guarantor on that, so we used my parents at that stage because we didn't quite have the ability to do it on our own with a 10% deposit. So that was how we got into that purchase. I was working part-time. I think I was pregnant with my third daughter. We had her just as we were about to arrive or settle on the house. So it was very hard with lending, I guess, having the kids young and that not having that stable income on mat leave and things like that.
I want to park there for a minute before we go to the break, because as you said, you've got two children on the ground, you're pregnant with a third, you've moved to a different state, you're wanting to buy a house, you're trying to get some parents' assistance to get this purchase done. There's a fair bit going on in your life. It's easy to be able to say, well, let's sit back and we'll have our third child and then we'll adjust things and reassess and see where we want to be. Like, would you say you're somewhat of a risk taker, or it just seemed quite natural for you to be doing that at the time?
Yeah, I do think I'm a bit of a risk taker, and I love change and things like that. It's all in my family. We all change around a lot and move around, and having babies never impacted me. The fact, I think I was 37 weeks when I moved into this house, so I had to change the hospital from the other side of Melbourne to this side, and lots of people would never do that, but it didn't bother me. I was just like, oh, well, you know, I will make it work, which we did. But yeah, we kind of just at that stage wanted a family home that we owned again. Renting wasn't for us. We didn't like it. Couldn't change anything about the house, obviously. And we were just hanging out to find a home that suited us for, I guess, another 10 years, which it has done, because it's 10 years today since we've had that house. So,
love it. That's awesome. And when you bought that house, 37 weeks pregnant, did you think that it was going to be a 10-year plus home that you'd be, well, like, was that one of your focus points to say, well, we don't want to have to move in 5 years because we're outgrowing this, planning to have maybe a fourth child? Was that on your mind?
No, not really. I guess we didn't really see it that much as a long-term plan then. It has become that, and we've renovated this house to make it bigger and allow us to obviously have the room for four kids here. The more we hold on to it, the more I do feel attached to it in a way. I guess I've got that emotional side now with this house that we've done so much to it, and we've put blood, sweat and tears. There's nothing original left now that was how we bought it, that it would be hard to sell. I mean, I do love change, and me and my husband are up for always the next thing, I guess, but it would be hard to let go of it for all we've done here.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome story up until now. I think there's been a time where when you left Queensland, you could have easily sold the property and taken that cash and put it into a new asset, but you've kept it. It's performed well for you up until today, and you've maybe taken that long-term approach to real estate. I'm excited after the break to talk about has transpired since, and then what that total portfolio looks like, and then also what's on the agenda for the family 2024 and moving forward. So we'll take a break and then we'll be back.
If you're after personal financial advice, don't get it from a podcast. If you would like help based on your own personal situation, head over to sortyourmoneyout.com, click Get Help, and we'd be happy to introduce you to one of our trusted advisors. We also have a panel of trusted mortgage brokers we can connect you with to get you into your first home, an investment property purchase, or to review your current loan if you don't have a broker. Our panel of advisors, mortgage brokers, and accountants work with clients all over Australia so they can connect with you wherever you are. That's sortyourmoneyout.com and click Get Help.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, so we're in our own home again, second time, two states. We've just had our third child. What's next on the agenda, both personal and, I suppose, financially speaking, for Hayley and her family?
So, yeah, I guess then we did take a bit of a break from property from then on. I started a business in recruitment when my daughter was about 18 months old. I'd always worked in recruitment, so I decided to bite the bullet and start my own sort of niche agency in 2016. So from then until 2020, I focus pretty much on that. Obviously, with banks and lending, it can be really difficult with your own business if you haven't been in it that long for them to feel secure in lending. So that halted us as well for a while. And it wasn't until 2020 that we purchased another property then.
Okay, so 6 years goes by. You've started your own business in the meantime, just to put a little bit more strain on your life to start a new business with three kids on the ground. 2019, the fourth child came along. And so now we've got four kids, we're a business owner, and we're straight away after that, we're launching into our third property. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I guess I was crazy busy at the time, but a property came up in a town that my husband's from, which was Bendigo, one of the regional areas of Victoria, about an hour and a half from Melbourne. He's from there, so we know the area well, and we ended up purchasing a miner's cottage on a beautiful street in the centre of Bendigo. I think I fell in love with the street, which they always say, buy the worst house, best street, and exactly what I did. It only was half a house. The front was all renovated. The back was a complete knockdown. We didn't think too much about it. We just jumped on board. We got that off market from a real estate who just said, I've got this thing, this property coming up. Do you want to have a look? And we bought that really quickly, with the idea that we'd renovate the back, which we did do, but that didn't settle till March 2020. Just before COVID hit. So that was a bit of a controversial one. We had people saying to us, don't buy, don't buy, that everything's going to crash. It was a really weird time, but we just decided we're going to go for it, and we hoped for the best. And it did work out, which was lucky.
Yeah, that's great. And a beautiful town in Bendigo for sure. And there are some beautiful streets there that have these nice heritage listed miners' cottages. Did you have any problems with the improvements on that? Did it have a character overlay and heritage listing?
So we did find out only after the fact that it was a heritage property. We couldn't do anything to the front. We were very lucky to find out that the previous owner had actually already submitted plans for the back, which saved us a year probably in delays with planning It was a far bigger process than we ever could have imagined, but we did get lucky that she'd done that. So it meant there was plans ready to go when we found a builder. We used a friend of my husband's initially, but he went into liquidation with COVID. So it definitely had its fair share of drama for a full 12 months while we got another builder on board, who was also a friend from football. It was all networks that we managed to pull this one off.
Nice. So
it took about a year, I'd say, before it was complete and ready to be rented. And we initially listed that as an Airbnb in Bendigo. And that worked really well. It was just a perfect area location, central to Bendigo. I had my mother-in-law helping with the cleaning side, but it just all turned out a bit difficult to keep it that set up due to being in Mount Eliza and that being in Bendigo. I think being closer to the property would have been easier to keep manage of it. So I ended up converting that into permanent, fully furnished rental not long after.
Awesome. And you've still got that today. So pre-COVID, or when COVID hit, as you mentioned, there were a few naysayers around saying, don't do it, you're crazy, etc. And by the sounds of it, you've had a little bit of this and talking off air through the journey, people saying you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. And there's a lot of resilience that comes out in what you're saying here, the journey that you've been on. Talk to us about the people around you and how you've maybe had to swat them off with a fly swat.
Yeah, I guess the whole thing of trust your gut is what I've kind of gone with. There's been lots of people, family, friends all along the way say, oh, you should sell that now, like great timing, or don't buy now. But I think if you just sort of trust your gut, as well as do some research into the area as well. I mean, as much as Bendigo was an emotional time, my husband was from there, I had looked at research and Ballarat had gone fairly well in the years prior, and I just thought, well, Bendigo's not far from Ballarat, surely, you know, it'll get its time. And it's exactly what kind of did happen. COVID obviously boosted it, but it had a lot of growth from 2020 to 2022. Those 2 years were great for it. So I think I've just always done that. I do listen, but I also just, with my husband, we both will have a chat and we'll do what we think's right for us and our family, I guess.
How important has it been for you and Luke to be on the same page? Like, you're on the show here today, Luke's at work. Are you the driving force behind these decisions, or is like he the smiling assassin in the background that actually pulls the strings? Like, are we talking on a level basis, on a regular basis, I suppose, what I'm asking?
Yeah, I guess I'm the one who massively does drive what next for us. I've been the one passionate about property. He's always said it's my thing. Mm. He's very supportive of my love for it, I guess, and he's always, you know, he's one of those people who goes, let's do it. He's never, which is a bit scary, really. You need someone who sort of goes, have you done your research? But he always just goes, you know what you're doing. You've done well for us in the past. Like, he sort of trusts that I'll get it right, but it does right. Make me think it would be nice if you did some research so it's backed up with you. But no, he just supports what I'm into, and he's always said, go for it. So that's how it's kind of worked so far. He will sort of knock me back if I've got crazy dreams of ideas that will never work, or if it's too labor intensive on him. So I'll find a flip property and say, you know, you can do all the work, and he'll just be like, in what time with four kids? It's not exactly going to happen.
You make it work. Yeah. Well, he's obviously backs you in and appreciates the knowledge that you bring to the table and the research that goes behind that. So, which is really important, isn't it? And maybe that's the answer to friends and family saying you shouldn't do this, you should do this. When you've got a husband there that's extremely supportive of what you're doing, it's almost like a shield of armor that says, yeah, no, we've got this. We know what we're doing here. And if it fails, it falls on us, not anyone else.
Yeah, I think that's right. Like, we do the numbers. We make sure we're not going to get into any sort of financial difficulty as much as possible. We are careful. When you've got a big family, you can't be irresponsible, I think, and just take out huge debt and, you know, have rents that are nowhere near going to cover it. We're not that kind of people. We do look into it and what, you know, what the position will be for us. We've done research, or I do the research and he goes, okay, looks all right.
That's great. So When I look at this portfolio, and I'll give you the numbers, I'll give listeners numbers in a moment, but it hasn't been an aggressive approach to wealth creation by any means. It's just, you've just not woken up and said, let's go and buy a property. It's been a well thought out process from the point of view of, okay, we're buying this house, this is where we live. Okay, we're moving to Victoria. Now the time's right for us to buy a property there. And now, fast forward to 2020, we've got some lending now that I've been a business owner for a few years. So now we're going to buy an investment and we've done some research around that. Where would you say a lot of your knowledge and education and maybe mindset has come from over the journey?
So I definitely listen to a lot of podcasts. I was speaking to you earlier about the magazine. I used to, early days, there was only Property Investor magazine, and that's where I used to start with the research, and I'd look through that very early on. But yeah, since then, there's just so much available online. You can get overwhelmed, I guess, with it a little bit. There's so many ideas of where to next and where not to, and, you know, it can be hard to work it out. But a lot of, I get books as well. I'll be on Amazon searching for property books that might work and a similar strategy to what I'm looking to do. So a mix of things really along the way has worked for me.
Yeah, cool. I heard there's a new book out now. You might be able to get your hands on. It's called Sort Your Property Out and Build Your Future, Hayley.
I did see that, John. Yes, I will be getting that.
I'll send you a copy. So total portfolio today sitting around 3.4 mil with a debt of about 1.5 mil. And I'm going to break that down for the listeners because I think this part is important. We've got 540 on our own home, which is quite manageable, and you've talked through ways that and timeframes as which you're going to wipe that off, for you and your family to give you greater flexibility and lifestyle. But your Bendigo and Tawantin properties are cash flow positive and both interest only. Bendigo is renting at $650 a week with a debt of $475. And Tawantin's renting at $850 a week with a debt of only $525. So it's a great portfolio worth over 3 mil, and as I said on previous episodes, if our property portfolio is going up by 5%, in your case your portfolio is building by roughly 150k a year, which is outstanding. It's very hard to make that or save that sort of money. So you could sit here and say, look, our hard work's done. We haven't been ultra aggressive. We could let it do its thing and maybe convert the investments to P&I, principal and interest, and pay them down somewhat over the next 10 years. You're 38 now. By the time you're 50, you could put the queue in the rack and say, look, I'm done. What's next for Hayley and her family?
Well, we could do that. That's an option for us, but I don't get it. It's as exciting as probably adding to what we've already got. So we're already looking now for the fourth property. Obviously it's been 4 years since we bought Bendigo. So, we're at a time where we've got ability. I'm talking to the bank at the moment about how much we could borrow. So looking at suburbs of where to next, I think we just want to keep building it. We've got four kids, so to have four properties would kind of make sense. Not that they'll all be valued, but they can fight for them later on, because I think long-term goal is hold on as long as we can. Unless we have to sell, we don't really want to sell them. They've performed great for us, and we've realized it's such a long-term game. When you do have property, well, it has been for us anyway. So that's the aim, I think, here forward.
Yeah, that's great. And so you're wanting to continue to build the portfolio, which I love. You're going to have it structured well. You've got a well thought out portfolio ready. And I don't think it's a large portfolio. Like, you're not someone that's got 8 to 10 properties here that always has to deal with property managers and broken hot water systems and all these sort of things. It's a very quite manageable property portfolio that is just sat there and done its thing like property does over the journey. And there was times where you could have sold and taken some nice proceeds, and you could even say to yourself, well, today I could sell down on one of these properties and wipe our principal place of residence tomorrow. But you have got that long-term focus to say, well, we've got a balance of doing things we want to do now, but we've also got one eye on the future for 10 to 15 years' time. So well done. It's been just as much a patience thing as it's been a resilience thing.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It's a patient game. You've just got to hold in there. And although at times you think, oh, it'd be nice to bank all that money, I think the longer you can hold on, the better it will be for your future and for your family's future, is to just hold on, because property is a long-term strategy. The longer you stay in it, the better it will be.
Now, your kids are turning 5, 10, 12 and 15 this year.
Yeah.
Are they picking up what mum and dad are putting down? Are they hearing the money stories? Are they interested in property? Do they look at the real estate for sale signs as you're driving to school? Where are they at on their journey?
Well, my son's actually more looking at cars at the moment than properties, because he'll be learning to drive next year. So he's not quite there yet, but I do see signs of him in me. Like, I think he's going to be a quite entrepreneurial. And I think he's a saver. So my eldest is quite wise. My second son is terrible. He spends every dollar he gets the second he gets it. But I think the eldest son will definitely, with my encouragement, I hope he does save once he starts earning money and getting a job. I think it'll be tough for their generation. I do worry for them. Hence, there's another reason I want to hold our properties, because I just think it's going to be really difficult for the future generations coming in. But I hope they do have the passion. I'm not sure they all will, but if half do, it'll be good, I guess.
Yeah, and it's amazing, and for anyone else listening that's got kids, it's amazing how much they pick up without you actually even talking to them. They would know that mum and dad are successful in their own rights for what they've done with the properties, even though you may not have sat down and said, look, this is what we've got and this is how much it's worth and this is the debts. It's just by association that they'll take some good things from it. So that's the other exciting part about what you can do on your financial journey personally, is to empower others around you without even knowing it.
Yeah, definitely. I agree.
Hayley, thank you very much for coming onto the show. I've gained some inspiration from it today myself. Hopefully the listeners have as well. If you're out there in your early 20s, like Hayley, you had your first child at 23, was that right?
Yeah.
And I talk about this family life stage cycle where once you start having kids, if you're out there wanting to have kids, there's probably about a 20 to 25 year cycle where you get out the other side and the kids are grown up and out of your house is when a lot of people then start to invest again. But you've basically said, well, that's not going to be a deterrent for me. We're having kids, we're building a family, but we're going to build our wealth alongside that. And where there's a will, there's a way. And you've shown our listeners today that it's absolutely possible. A lot of families are happy with two kids. You've doubled that and had four, and still able to build a successful portfolio and a successful business. So well done. There's inspiration to many out there. Any final thoughts for our listeners today?
Not really. I think, I guess you just, with property, you can't hesitate too much. It's one of those things that, yeah, I've got to just jump the gun at some point and go, let's do it. There's so many times you can hesitate and not. But if you're willing to, you know, stay the course, I guess you're going to make it out in the end if you buy the right property. So do your research. But, yeah, don't let kids impact you either. We've made it work with four, so it's possible for anyone, I think, if you can get it right.
Absolutely. One last question for you, Hayley. Any regrets? Is there anything that you would have done differently had you had your time again?
Probably not. I kind of one of those people who goes, no regrets in life. Most of what we did, you know, as painful as some of the stuff we had to deal with Bendigo was, it was very stressful. And it's ended up working out in the end. So I think I don't regret it. I probably would have maybe bought something a little bit simpler if I had to have my time again, but it did work out, so I can't regret it. But no, that's kind of the way it is. I think no regrets in life, and yeah, hopefully it all works out.
Awesome. I love that. Thanks again for coming on the show, and all the best for the next phase of your life for you and your family.
Thanks, John.
We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands on which we live and work, and pay respects to their elders past, present and emerging. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to this podcast. It's time to get the property you want. If buying your first home or investing in property is something you're interested in, check out John Pidgeon's book, Sort Your Property Out and Build Your Future. John covers the essentials like how to find hotspots and notspots, due diligence, mortgages, tax stuff, grants and schemes, and how to set up your investing timeline. It's the only book you'll need about buying and investing in property. Visit sortyourpropertyout.com to grab your copy. This podcast is for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general financial advice only, which does not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Because of that, you should consider if the advice is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on the information. If you do choose to buy a financial product, read the product disclosure statement, target market determination, and obtain appropriate financial advice tailored to your needs. Simo Interactive Proprietary Limited, the publisher of the podcast, and Glenn James are authorised representatives of Money Sherpa Proprietary Limited, which holds financial services license 451289.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.